Do you need treatment or surgery? There's no need to wait or travel abroad. Receive treatment at Kingsbridge Private Hospital in Belfast or Ballykelly under the Northern Ireland Planned Healthcare Scheme at potentially no cost. Why wait? Text hello to 51777 or visit kingsbridgeprivatehospital.com for further information.
The music content in the following podcast has been shortened due to copyright reasons.
Back to the Harriers with their Bridge Shopping Centre Tullamore. Over 30 shops under one roof with over 400 car parking spaces. Bridgecentre.ie.
Bank Holiday Monday on Midlands 103, and you're welcome to a special programme. It's Back to the Harriers 2, the bands. And we're going to focus on some of the big bands that played live in the Harriers back in the 80s, the 90s, and of course, the early noughties. And we're joined by John Cusack. Of course, this is the brainchild of John Cusack. We did a special on the Harriers some months ago, and there was just huge feedback on that. And we're also joined by Mick Lynch, who is a well-known author. He did the book, What's Another Year, all about the Eurovision. Mick would be a bit of a Eurovision expert, and he also did a book on the Beatles in Ireland. Lads, you're very welcome.
Good evening, Roy.
Hello, Roy.
Now, John Cusack, this is your baby. This is the brainchild of you, and we did an hour special back some months ago, and we didn't realise how popular, and we didn't realise the feedback we would get on this broadcast, so we've decided to do an extra special today and focus on the bands. Tell us a little bit about the Harriers. What's so special about the Harriers, John?
Well, Roy, following on from our show on the Bank Holiday Monday in April, it has been phenomenal, the response that I got. I've still people coming every day to me looking to speak to me about this, and they asked me, would there be a part two? And we sat down, and we said, why not focus on the bands? And the Harriers was a rite of passage for everybody into the 70s, 80s, 90s and the early noughties. So we put this show together, and the response that we put up the ad a couple of weeks ago looking for people to give their stories, it has been phenomenal. Like, there's definitely, the Harriers has been the mecca for everybody in the Midlands. They came from all over. I have people contacting me locally, the greater Midlands area, and from across the globe, sending me messages, sending me funny stories. So we've lined up a few people to speak to. We've lined up lads from the bands that played there. They were absolutely delighted to come on board tonight. So, yeah, really looking forward to the show. It's going to be fantastic.
And, of course, we have some legends that's going to be appearing on the show as well. Mick Lynch, there's nothing about music that you do not know. And a regular visitor to Midlands 103. Mick, for you, what does the Harriers mean and what memories does it have for you?
Well, I suppose growing up as a teenager in Mount Mellick, the Harriers was our outlet on a Saturday night every weekend. So we were listening to the music on the radio, and if you wanted to see the bands, Tullamore was the place to go, and the Harriers was one of the venues there. So we would always go down to the square in Mount Mellick, and the late Ned Comfort used to drive a bus over, and also Ollie Kinroy. And they were the two buses going religiously on a pilgrimage to Tullamore. And they would be jam-packed with people. You wouldn't get away with it nowadays, but there was people just standing in the aisles. Like, how many could you fit on a bus is what was possible. And yes, that was it. So that was our night out every Saturday night.
And music-wise, what stands out for you? What memories do you have from big bands that appeared at the Harriers?
There's a couple of them that really stand out. I suppose Johnny Logan would have been one of them. He would have been big in the early 80s and then went quiet for a while and then came back in the late 80s and won a couple of Eurovisions. So he would have been one of them. The Memories would have been another band who had been going long since the 70s. And were always, I think, probably regular monthly visitors probably to the Harriers. And in other years, then one of the other bands stood out for me would have been Lovebug. They're a band from the north, which I'll talk about later. So that would have been the kind of three main ones for me in the 80s.
Well, lads, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to leave it to yourselves because you're the Harriers experts. And I have to say, ashamed to say that I've never, ever been to the Harriers when I was a youngster, unfortunately. But it sounds like you just had an absolute blast there. And it was a different time. As you said, you wouldn't get away with some of the stuff you got away with back then nowadays. So, lads, as I said, we're going to focus on the bands, the artists. And I think we'll take our first piece of music from one of the well-known bands in the Harriers. And after that, we leave it to yourselves.
Okay, you're very welcome back to Midlands 103 on this Bank Holiday Monday, and you're joined with John Cusack and Mick Lynch. We're back to the Harriers 2, the band, and online we have the great Brush Shields. Brush, good evening.
Ah, John, I'm delighted to talk to you. Can't forget to talk about Tullamore. I'm your man.
Come on, Brush. Brush, we spoke there recently and you have great memories of playing in Tullamore, but particularly in the Harriers in Tullamore, it used to be a mad night when you were playing there.
You know, like it was like Mardi Gras. Coming into Tullamore on either a Saturday or a Sunday, and you get to the hill there at the start of the town, and then you come over. Somebody should film that. You know, at the time, all of a sudden, there's people everywhere, left, right, and centre. Couldn't believe the excitement, and they were the best of times. But I had great pals both in the, you know, with Colin McCabe in the British House, and then of course Brendan O'Shea and Brendan Lowbridge. Now, the reason why I'm emphasising his name, John, is that you'll have to work this date out because I don't know. This is in the 80s. And Offaly are in the hurling final in Croke Park. And a couple of weeks before that, I've been talking to Brendan Lowbridge. I said, Brendan, like, call in if you like after the, you know, if you win, call in and say hello. I was living in Castle Knock at the time. So anyway, you... Offaly got beaten, I knew that. And then there's a knock at the door. And there's Brendan, you know, in Castle Knock, my house. And he says, I have a few with me. He says, can I bring them in? He says, well, yeah, no problem. Anyway, there's a few boys listening out there who know who they are. But there was at least 14 or 15. He told me he had a few. 14 or 15. So I had a big room upstairs. Brought them all in. Margaret made all the sandwiches. Well, I had a right few bottles of Potchain. And everybody except the driver, I don't know who was driving, was kind of a bit of a sing-song. But Brendan reckoned it was the happiest Offaly supporters in Ireland.
I think that was around 1984.
Yeah, you know, whatever it was. Yeah. There's a few boys out there, John, who know who they are.
So I safely say they left Castle Knock with sore heads on.
Well, didn't seem to hurt as much getting beaten.
Back
and
then,
we sang a few songs, and the boys ate the sandwiches and drank the potchie, and that's all. You know, that's the way it was. But to me, that's rock and roll. You know, that's what it's all about. But Brendan Lowbridge, any time I was playing there, he used to say to me, "I love the way you squeal like a pig," and that. and a little help from my friends.
Oh, lovely.
You know, I'd get to the scream. And I'd be, you know, people just scream like I'm fucking half the crowd would scream back at you. You didn't know whether to scream on with you or screaming at you. You know, but Brendan Reckon used to say to me, I love the way you squeal like a pig and that one where you do all the squealing. And well, I'd say, yeah, all right, you know.
But Brush, like back then it was phenomenal, the crowds that were going out and the whole band scene was massive. But Tullamore seemed to be the mecca, and the Harriers, like, you know, the crowds that used to come from all over. But can you just tell us maybe a couple of stories or your favourite songs to play in the Harriers and the reaction that you got off the dance floor and everything?
Well, like, in those particular times, like, you'd be still kind of doing... This was even before... The Fields of Art and Ryan Doherty Old Town. That didn't come around until around 88. But strangely enough, I have this album that I made a few years ago that I brought out last week. And all the songs are from that particular time, like songs like Drift Away and Mustang Sally and even Satisfaction by the Stones. And then I used to take a couple of Joe Dolan numbers and give them a lash, you know?
Go like, on, Bruce.
like make me and break me and take me, you know, and good looking woman. But I give them a fair lash.
Oh, man,
and they were all the type of things I was doing. Then I'd do, I'd do a little bit of this and that bit, but a lot of driving, but mainly kind of driving along a la kind of status quo, Rod Stewart, Sylvia's mother, all, and then you have the Celtic rock before it became, the high energy Celtic rock before it became Celtic rock. That didn't really get going till 1988, and the soccer like over and But all in all, anytime you came down to the Harriers or you came down to the Bridge House, like the reaction was always, it was as wild as anywhere in the world.
That's for definite. I remember it fondly as well from working there and seeing you playing as well, Brush. Like the crowd would go simply mad when you get into it, and like another massive night. Brush, I'm really, really thankful for you joining us tonight. It's been phenomenal having you on the phone. Like the memories that you have created for everybody around Tullamore and in the Harriers. And just to recognise your playing, we're going to play the Fields of Athenry now.
Delighted
keep
to talk to you, John. Boy,
cheers,
thank
Brush.
You,
thanks very much.
By a lonely prison wall,
that was the Fields of Athenry from Brush Shields, and you're listening to Back to the Harriers 2 on this Bank Holiday Monday on Midlands 103, and myself and John Cusack are discussing all the great memories we have of the Harriers back in the day. And one that I have would be from the mid to late 80s. Johnny Logan was a huge name around Ireland at that time. And what had happened was, he, as people know, he had won the Eurovision in 1980 with What's Another Year. And then he was expected to go on and be very successful all over Europe, and it didn't materialise. There was issues with record companies and a couple of singles released at the one time, and it didn't really happen for him. So he disappeared again without trace for a long time. Then, as history shows now, he came back in 1987 with another Eurovision song, and he went and won the Eurovision. And so because of that, I think it was once bitten, twice shy with him. He realised people were critical of him for not touring Ireland and playing smaller venues after winning it. So he actually came to the Harriers again in 87, 88. And I recall him coming on stage one night, and he was halfway through his set, and then he came and he said to us, who's big-headed now? Because a lot of the media were pointing fingers at him that he wouldn't play the smaller venues. And so, yeah, great gigs. And I interviewed him a few years ago, and he said he had nothing but great memories of playing places like the Harriers. So at the time I mentioned he came back, he had won the Eurovision with Hold Me Now, was the big song at the time, which was a massive hit here in the UK. And we're going to have a listen to that song now. So this is Johnny Logan and Hold Me Now.
Don't close your heart to how you feel. Dream, and don't be afraid, the dream's not real. Close your eyes, pretend it's just the two of us again.
Midlands 103.
And you're very welcome back here to Midlands 103 in this August Bank Holiday Monday. The Harriers special, Back to the Bands. And myself and Mick Lynch were chatting earlier off, before we came on air, about all the memories that that we both have. I travelling in from Clonisley and Mick coming with the boys from Mount Melick. And Mick, you were saying to me that, like, you think back to the bus drivers back then and the things that we all got away with.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, as I said, there was no regulations in place or anything back then. You paid your money, you got on the bus, you went to Tullamore, and it really was, how many can we fit in here? Sardines in a tin. That's exactly what it was. So I just recall on many occasions going over, and you'd have someone sitting on your lap. You were hoping it was a girl, but you had someone sitting on your lap, and they were doubling up on how many people would. So, I mean, the late Ned Comfort had a small minibus that would hold, because we used to go on his bus when we were playing under 12 GAA football. So the bus only held a football team. But I can tell you there was at least 30 on that bus or 40 going to Tullamore every Saturday night.
Yeah, we went with the late Fred Duggan. He was started off with an old Bedford bus. I can remember it well. I think it was blue or sort of some sort of a green in colour. But he always had a saying, sit down there now, boys. Sit down there now, boys. But like, with, do you know, when we first got to the Harriers, like, it was unbelievable. And I remember, like, still, and even the first night I walked into the Harriers itself, and you walked around the corner, got past the cloakroom, that was getting in by the door. There were several lads went, and they didn't get past the front door because the boys on the front door were very strict. And you got this membership. Like, it was, you were like a god.
Yeah.
And you went in around by the cloakroom then, and on our way in then, you'd had the music playing, like, and the songs were familiar, like, but walking in that first night, like, you were just in total awe with the whole experience of the Harriers and all the little tables and the nooks that they had with the lamps on top of it.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, for a lot of us, it was our first venture into taking a pint, and you had to be the man that night, and also you had to try and get the bragging rights for the next morning, and
yeah,
who you were with and what was the story. But it would be wrong of us tonight not to mention the Harriers and the people who founded the Harriers and who gave us this rite of passage through our teens, and but not just for our teens, but like, I've been getting messages from people who went there in the 70s, both on a Saturday and Sunday night, and like, talking from some of the bands and some of the guest people that we have on, like, you know, Brendan O'Shea was the man who did the booking of the bands, and they all spoke so highly of him. But not to mention any individuals in particular, like, we just want to pay tribute to the founders of the Harriers, who had the vision to put it there, who brought this music venue to Tullamore and made it the mecca of entertainment in the Midlands, and I would say in Ireland in that period. And we really, really want to thank them, and for the great work that they have done over the years for a lot of people. And like, I myself, since the programme in April, like, you know, I've got really had a real inkling for music, but didn't realise what it's done for me. And like, as somebody said to me recently, music keeps you young. And like, having been able to do this show and the last show and with Roy as well, like, it's the response and the memories that we're bringing back to people. And we hope you, the listeners out there tonight, are enjoying, and it brings back some great memories. And Mick, would you have a memory that you'd like to share, or have you something that you'd really like to share?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. There's one actually that's just come to mind now. You were talking about having your first pint and stuff. I decided to go to the Harriers for my 18th birthday in the late 80s, and so I had never drank, and I was just going to become 18. And in school, I'd said to all the lads, because we were going to plan to go that night, and I said to the lads, look, I decided I'm going to have my first drink Saturday night in the Harriers, but I said, don't pour it down my neck, because I didn't know what they were going to do, seriously. So we went that night in a bit of intrepidation, and but I walked into the venue, and one of my schoolmates, Rasher McAvoy, is coming down, walking down the floor with a pint in his hand. So he knew I had said to him, I'm going to have my first drink. And he walks down, and he said, sure, here, take that pint of mine, and I'll get another one. So I didn't even ask him what it was, and I didn't know. So I remember picking it up, taking a sip out of it, and saying to myself, don't like that. It's not as nice as 7-Up. And I just left it back down, and in that instant, I'd made a decision I was never going to drink. No. And never. So I asked him after, I said, by the way, what was that that drink? He said, that was a pint of Smittick's. And everybody said to me afterwards, you couldn't have picked a worse one to choose. So I'm so grateful. To this day, I haven't drank. But it was just so funny, because you wanted to be like the lads and you wanted to drink. But to be fair to all my schoolmates from Maumelik Technical School, none of them forced me to do it.
Oh, that was excellent. Yeah, no, look, I went with a great group of lads from Tunnelsley, John Kelly, Anthony Young, John O'Shea, Sean Flynn, and TJ Barnett at the time was a bit older than us, and he had a car, and we'd all pile into that car that night as well. But I suppose it's fitting that we're having the show on the August Bank Holiday Monday, because back then, like, during the school holidays, you know, once you got out and got the taste of the Harriers, it was unbelievable. And like, your parents were saying, no, that's it, you're out this Saturday night. And then you were coming towards the end of the summer and you're after meeting somebody. And back then you had no Snapchat or Facebook or no phones or no mobile phones. And you were hoping maybe that if you met somebody on a Saturday night that, you know, God, when would you see her again? And So you were. It was to get out, and I often got out to the window at home, and there'd be murders down your face, but you had no difficulty facing the music on the Sunday morning. Yeah. And like when we get back to Clonisslea, and a very funny story, Anthony Young, and I hope he's listening, we walked two women one night out to the fingerboard, thinking that we were in clover and this was great and we're all buddy-buddy and we're winking to one another. So we got out as far as the fingerboard anyway, and the fingerboard back then was totally different to what it is now, but the two women said, "Thanks, lads." And we looked at one another and said, "Sorry? Thanks, lads." And like I said, that was it. It was over. So we hadn't a clue where we were. We forgot where we were actually walking out. So we ended up walking home to Clonisslea that night.
Wow.
It was all hours of the morning when we got home. And I then had to walk up to British. And it was daylight when I getting in.
Right.
And I'm not joking you. I'll never, ever forget that night. And then getting the taste of the harp. And Sally O'Brien back then.
And the way she might
would look at you. Yeah, but we had a thing. We used to make a snake bite. It was harp and cider. And I'll never forget a puking session walking out of the Harriers. I think I christened every bush from the Harriers down to the top of High Street. And the Harriers has been a phenomenal place, and all our songs are international songs. And Mick, have you a song that an international song that brings, when you hear it on the radio, that it brings it back a great memory of the Harriers?
Yeah, there is a couple of them. I suppose my first times there would have been in, I think, 1985, possibly.
Like myself.
Okay, and there was a couple of songs. I remember Madonna's Angel was out at the time, and Body Rock was out for Maria Vidal. But the other song that jumped out at me at the time, because it was a European international hit, was a song called Tarzan Boy by Baltimore. So, yeah, we'll have a listen to that.
Definitely, and for me, as you said, Jump, it was Van Halen and Jump. Oh, my God, did we not jump around that dance floor in the Harriers when we heard that song? Do you know what, Mick? I think we play these two songs, will we?
Why not? Absolutely.
Jump, and that was one of my best memories. You're very welcome back here to Midlands 103 in this August Bank Holiday Monday special. Back to the Harriers, to the bands. I was saying earlier that we got loads of messages and emails and people telling us their stories, and I'm just going to read out one such story to you here now, and it's from Lily Corcoran in Ballinagar. And she says, "My cousin and I used to walk from Callery Street all the way to the Harriers every weekend. It seemed like the entrance way was so long walking into the forest, but it was not that long. We were not afraid of being attacked because the town wasn't like it back then, and we'd walk up home late night laughing and giggling. We were both 18. Inside was always packed, especially if it was a fork supper night. Who remembers the fork supper? The mushy peas, the chicken, the sausages and the burgers with that beautiful sauce. And you don't hear of that anymore. But when the music started, if you were the girls, you were on one side of the hall and the fellas were on the other side. They would come over and say, 'Would you care for a dance?' Well, this one night, we both got asked at the same time. We were so shy, we never left each other's side. And even when dancing, well, we got on the packed dance floor right next to each other. And when I didn't see her anymore, I asked the fella she was dancing with, 'Where did she go?' He said, 'She's on the floor.' I looked at him and, 'What? What the hell is she doing on the floor?' It seems her shoe fell off and everyone got dancing and was kicking it everywhere. And she got down on her hands and knees. Imagine getting down on the Harriers and your hands and knees on your hands and knees on a dance packed floor looking for your shoe. So she started chasing her shoe all the way and felt like an idiot on the dance floor looking for this in her red arse pants and chasing her shoe. All you could hear, 'Where the hell are you?' from both of us. After about 15 minutes, I found a shoe and jumped up, and when the music stopped and yell, I found it, holding it high in the air. Everyone was laughing. Needless to say, we were filthy from the floor and had to wash our hands and our knees off, so off to the toilet we went. We were laughing so hard and so embarrassed, we ended up in the men's room instead of the ladies' toilets. That's when she said, 'Let's go home.'" And that was from Lily Corcoran in Ballinagar. Lily, thanks very much. And that was another great memory. And I have one here from another young lady from Clonisslea, Mary Young. Mary was a sister to a very good friend of mine, Anthony Young, at the time when we still are very good friends. We used to go to the Harriers. But Mary sent this message: "Great bands, like Something Happens, Four of Us, The Dixons, The Stunning, Golden Horde, The Memories, Paul Brady, Lightning Strike, Love Bug. Well, that was before my time." So she says, "Mary, you're not too far behind me at all. London Spies, The Pale and The Cry Before Dawn, on all the great DJs, Deadly Music Venue, Thanks very much for that, Mary. Another man sending me in loads of stuff is Michael Kelly. Michael is constantly sending me on great information and telling me stuff about different bands and the Harriers. And thanks very much, Michael. So, and our next guest, and talking of the memories, everybody remembers the memories coming to Tullamore and the Harriers. We'll have Mike Swan from the Memories speaking and joining us next. You're here with Midlands 103, Bank Holiday Monday, John Cusack and Mike Lynch, bringing you back to the Harriers, the bands.
Back to the Harriers, with thanks to the Bridge Shopping Centre, Tullamore. Fashion, electronics, food, gadgets, music, movies, footwear and a whole lot more for all the family. Bridgecentre.ie.
Midlands 103 is at FLAC Kilnahare in 2023, and we'll be bringing you all the latest from the heart of the action all across the week. Listen out for our FLAC Soundbites every day, featuring interviews and chats with musicians, singers and other performers in Mullingar.
Feel good FLAC on Midlands 103.
With thanks to David Smith Catering, serving the best food from the Midlands to the Midlands. DavidSmithCatering.com.
Bank Holiday Monday on Midlands 103 with Barry Martin Motors, Irish Town, Mullingar. You don't need to go far to sell your car. See BarryMartinMotors.ie today.
You're very welcome back to Midlands 103 and this Bank Holiday Monday. You're joined with myself and Mike Lynch here for Back to the Harriers 2 and the bands. And talking of bands, everywhere has cropped up in messages that we've all received as the band, The Memories. And we are so thankful for having Mike Swan from The Memories online. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening to you, John. Hope you're well.
Very well, thank you. Mike, every message that crops up, every email that was sent to us, The Memories were the only band in the Harriers. And Mike and myself were just chatting a few minutes ago about the Memories, and like, I remember the dance floor, it was mental. And when you were, everybody looked forward, like, I mean, you were there so regular, but you packed it every Saturday night that you played on the Harriers. You actually packed the Harriers, and it was such a night. So, Mike, I'm so looking forward to hearing some stories and memories that you have from the Harriers and what came out of it.
I've been trying to rack my brain, and hello, hi Mike there. Good to have a name like that.
Thanks, Mike.
I've been racking my brains, and I've been speaking also to my great friend and compatriot and fellow songwriter, Dara Boyle, and trying to go over things that we remember from the Harriers. But anyway, you roll on, you ask, and I'll try and reminisce.
You would have, Brendan O'Shea would have been your main point of contact and booking the bands and the Harriers. And I think likewise for yourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Brendan, I believe Brendan is still among us, correct?
He is indeed, yeah, in good form and still lives up there in Spot and Sound.
Fantastic. Will you give him my absolute best? A lovely, lovely man.
Of course I will.
Actually, in an era when there were, we won't go into it in detail, but there were a couple of in the country they'd be called strokers, involved in the music business. Brendan was an absolute gentleman with nothing but really fond memories, if you don't mind the pun, of Brendan and indeed the whole gang. Am I right in thinking that a jolly, stout, fun-loving, grey-haired shock of a bunch of hair man called Paddy Larkin used to be there behind the bar?
That's correct, yeah. Paddy, unfortunately, has passed away. And
I just checked that, yeah. I saw that. He was a right character. And in fact, the thing about the Memories going to the Harriers, outside of the fact that it was a fantastic gig for us, but we had great crack with all the guys because we were big into sport. And, of course, the Harriers was the hotbed of sport in Tullamore. So we had rare crack. I have one or two stories that I might tell you later on if we've time.
Okay. So I'm going to hand you over to Mike here.
Okay.
How are you, Mike? I suppose the big one for me would have been at the time you'd done a parody of Billy Joel's We Didn't Start a Fire called The Game.
I recall
it actually went to number one in Ireland for a week
I think it was May,
in 1990. So I just wanted to talk to you about that song and how it evolved and any other things you can remember about it.
That year, funny enough, was a significant year. We wrote a song that qualified for the the Irish section of the Eurovision Song Contest, and that cropped up earlier on in the year. And around about that time, Dara, my buddy Dara, he came to me with a cassette, a little cassette tape. He said, "I've done something with a Billy Joel song. Have a listen to it." And he literally gave me the words. He sang the words to me over the Billy Joel backing track. Well, it wasn't a backing track. It was the actual recording of Billy Joel's song. And I thought it was amazing, unbelievable. And we said, come on, let's work on this. So we got together with some good production people, and we came up with, we called it the game, or we're going to start the fire. So we jigged it around slightly. But I have to say, the work that Dara did on it, you probably remember the song, but not alone the rhyming, but the meter and the whole sense of Billy Joel's song transported into an Irish football idiom was amazing. Really, really liked it.
Yeah, the lyrics were fantastic, to be fair to you. They are brilliant. And I believe Billy Joel played Ireland that year.
He played, it was the bank holiday, no, it wasn't the bank holiday, it was a June weekend, around about the 17th or 18th of June. And we were, or just had kicked off our first game. And I'm led to believe, we weren't at the game because we were obviously working. I'm led to believe that Billy Joel actually had the words of our song written, and he had taped it to the back of his guitar. Or on the piano. I can't remember what he did at the time. But he seemed to make an attempt to sing our version to a huge response by all accounts. I think it was 30, 35,000 people in the RDF. And he ended up kicking footballs into the crowd and attempting to sing our song. So it was a great, if you like, boost for the song, because there were two other songs that were vying with ours. There was the official song, which was Keep Them Under Pressure.
Keep Them Under Pressure,
which worked off the Horse Lips riff. And then there was...
Give It a Lash, Jack.
Give It a Lash, Jack. You remember well, the Late Late Show sponsored the competition, and that was the song that won it. So at varying times, each of those songs, over a 6 to 8 week period, were at number one.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. First, the Billy Joel bit is 100% true, because I spoke to people that were at the gig and said they came out and Billy did sing the Memories version on a couple of verses, which, fair play to him, that's the highest compliment he could have paid you. And secondly, yeah, I think Give It a Lash, Jack was number one, then you went to number one. And it's ironic, I think Give It a Lash, Jack came back to number one, but Put Him Under Pressure like was number one for something like 13 weeks. So we had about 20 weeks or 15 to 20 weeks there of just football songs at number one.
You were
in there at the right time with that one.
We were, and the strange thing is that while Dara and I particularly, sometimes with Jim Barry, our lead singer, but mainly Dara and I wrote regularly, the two songs that were probably most associated with are sporting songs, actually. That one in 1990, The Game, and in 1974, we wrote the anthem to the Dublin footballers, the All-Ireland. The Dubs are back, the Jacks are back. You can dig into your archives there, you'll come up with it.
Okay, brilliant. And actually, one other story, Mike, that jumps to mind. You touched on it earlier when you were taking part in the National Song Contest that year in 1990. Yes. I interviewed the lovely and the late Liam Riley a couple of years ago. Liam was telling me when he was in that same final with, of course, Somewhere in Europe, he said he was there that night and he was talking to you backstage and all this, and you were competing for it. But he said when he went out to sing the song, he said one of you came over to him and said, "Do you realise there's a line in Somewhere in Europe that says, 'The memories refuse to go away'?" And which there is. And he said one of the advice highlighted this to him, and he says, so when I went out to sing the song, taking part in it, I got to that line, and when I sang it, I couldn't hold it together, and I start laughing. And he said, I was afraid I'd ruined my chances of winning on the night. Now, as history shows, he won on the night, and he went and finished second, and it was brilliant. But it just always a lovely man, and it stuck out in my mind. There's another, pardon the pun, memory of the memories as well.
Oh, absolutely, and a hugely talented singer-songwriter as well, to be fair. He was, Bagatelle, I suppose, were unique in that they made songwriting in the Irish context, not Irish songs, but in the Irish chart context. They made songwriting sexy. I mean, they wrote great songs.
And absolutely.
And I know that a lot of their songs did well abroad, but if they never did well abroad, they actually topped the charts every time here in Ireland. And that was a great thing, because we weren't necessarily a country that recognized local songwriters on a local level. I mean, okay, you would have your Thin Lizzy's and you would have your U2's and so on, hugely international. But people, and another group of people who made Irish songwriting very special with the Swarbricks.
Oh, lovely. Tommy and Jimmy.
Because they, yes, but they wrote hit songs that were hits specifically in Ireland. Irrespective of how they did away, they clicked in Ireland, and that was a great thing.
Sorry, Mike, I just want to cut across you there. I'm after getting a few messages here from people coming in to me. And Mary Maher, Mick Kelly, Phil Newton, Dolores Wallace, Kevin Casey, Marion Egan, John Kennedy, James Brophy, and even our own Ellie Dunnigan here in the station. The memories, what the memories created for them going to the Harriers was going to live with them forever. And Mike, we are so thankful for you joining us here tonight. We really appreciate you sharing your memories of the memories in the Harriers, Tullamore. I have great memories. And Mike, we're going to say goodbye to you, but we're going to see it out, and our song is going to be called
"We're Going to Finish with the Game" by the Memories. Thanks a million, Mike.
My pleasure, Mike and John. Thank you
very much, Mike, and have a good day. Thank you.
Do you need treatment or surgery? There's no need to wait or travel abroad. Receive treatment at Kingsbridge Private Hospital in Belfast or Ballykelly under the Northern Ireland Planned Healthcare Scheme at potentially no cost. Why wait? Text hello to 51777 or visit kingsbridgeprivatehospital.com for further information.
Harriers with their Bridge Shopping Centre Tullamore. Over 30 shops under one roof with over 400 car parking spaces. Bridgecentre.ie. Bank Holiday Monday on Midlands 103 with Barry Martin Motors Mullingar. Barry wants to buy your car or van. All makes, all models. Visit Barry at Irish Town Mullingar or see BarryMartinMotors.ie today.
And welcome back. You're listening to Back to the Harriers 2 with myself, Mick Lynch, and John Cusack here on Midlands 103. And we've been discussing the bands tonight. A lot of the famous bands came and played here. And I suppose for me, the one band that stood out all through the 80s when I was going to the Harriers was a five-piece band from Newry called Love Bug. Some people would remember them. In 1986, they represented Ireland at the Eurovision with the song You Can Count On Me. And when I started going to see them, I suppose in the mid-80s, while they were playing a lot of the hits at the time that were in the charts, the fascinating thing I found, just like John referenced earlier with the Swarbricks and Mike Swan was talking about them, that Lovebug wrote their own music as well, their own songs, which was a big thing in the 80s. There wasn't really many bands doing it. And they came very regularly and would sell out the place. It was jammers, really. And you'd look at them there, and as I said, they had a female drummer, which I thought was unique at the time as well. And there was three Cunninghams in it. June was the lead singer, and then there was Max on guitar and Hugh and on bass, and as I mentioned, Ricky on keyboard. So there was five in a minute. Very interesting band. Probably never got the breaks they deserves, but in the late 80s then they signed to Virgin Records, and they were being produced by a very famous guy called Roy Thomas Baker, who actually produced Bohemian Rhapsody for Queen. So they were in good company, but just never got the breaks other record companies or other bands were looking for at the time. But a lot of the songs they had out, I've mentioned You Can Count on Me and Living in Stereo, they'd done a great version of Red Light Spells Danger, and a lot of other medleys of Horselip songs and stuff like that. But they finished fourth in the Eurovision, which when you look back nowadays, it was a massive achievement over in Norway. But the song I'm going to play here is one of their own. I think it got to number two in the charts in Ireland. And ironically, the song that kept it off the top was also called On My Own by Paddy LaBelle and Michael MacDonald. But this is the beautiful sound of Love Bug and On My Own on Midlands 103.
Welcome back to Midlands 103, and on this Bank Holiday Monday night, I'm joined here with Mick Lynch, and we're talking about Back to the Harriers, to the bands, and I suppose it'd be amiss of us tonight if we didn't mention the all most important section of nearly every lad's night going to the Harriers, and possibly the girls too, if they'd only admitted it was the slow set. And like, even the bands covered the slow set, like, and you know, Mick, I was just thinking earlier, like, when we were chatting about it, like, when you think back to the lads one side, the girls on the other side, and like, do you know, you were walking over, particularly for me. Like, it was like the boys used to call me Legacy when I was back in the day then, because I was like a pull through for a rifle. But you sort of stood out, and you were walking over. Maybe for a couple of weeks you were eyeing up this this girl, and you were trying to say, yeah, will I, won't I? And, you know, we were all terrified of being, sorry, no. And maybe get out for one dance, and you were hoping that it progressed, because we all felt that if you got over dance two, you were home and dry. But then if you didn't, then it was out the door. But look, it was an amazing period of time for people too. And look, there's a lot of husbands and wives out there today who can either blame the Harriers or thank the Harriers for meeting up their loved ones and spending the rest of their lives together. And like, I met my own wife in Tullamore while I worked in a pub here in Tullamore. But the first time I actually got to go to the Harriers with her was in April 1988. Yeah. And I was after buying my first car, Toyota Carina XCI10. And the song I'll always remember when I was the Harriers, the first song for me and dancing with my wife Imelda, was Lady in Red and Chris de Burgh.
Okay, and you touched on it there. I think when you went to the Harriers, as you said, that was the key moment. You were waiting that night where the DJ came on and introduced the slow set, and he would then say, you know, start playing songs, and that's when you walked around. But I think part of it was you were hoping your pride wasn't going to be hurt, because you were doing that walk over to a girl you'd been keeping an eye on, and you were going to ask her out to dance, and you were always paranoid about, is this going to be a walk of shame? Because you would be abused by the lads if you went back.
So you needed bragging rights for the Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
Or the Sunday afternoon when you met up. Like, and if you didn't have bragging rights, and depends on who you maybe ended up with the night as well, like, you might be saying nothing.
Yeah. And worse, if it was someone you knew from school or something, and you went, you had to go back in on Monday morning. But you look back now, as I said, we'd no internet, we'd no date naps, there was no nothing. This was the way you met people. And you'd walk over and you'd ask someone. And if you didn't had any luck, you'd be abused by the lads. But if you did, they'd be jealous.
Yeah.
And you go out and you dance with them. And I suppose one of the songs from the time that I remember vividly would have been Careless Whisper from George Michael.
Do you know what, Mick? Do you know, I think at this stage, let's play these two songs for in memory of the slow sets, Back to the Harriers, to the bands. And like, they all played it, and we all had a great time back then. And look, if, again, look, you're listening there at home, you'll have great memories of listening to the Back to the Bands too as well. And the slow set was really important part, especially when you had young lads like Bulls coming in from the local the local towns and stuff, and you're eyeing up all these girls, and you were full of testosterone and maybe pints of harp and double vodkas and whatever else was on the night. But no, look, in a serious matter, the so set was a very important part of the night and something all our young people today are missing. So, look, yeah. Mick, let's hit them here. Lady in Red by Christa Borg and Careless Whisper
by George Michael.
Back to the Harriers 2, the bands. And speaking of the bands, I got the opportunity to speak to the man who is responsible for booking all the bands in the Harriers. And it's not just in our era, but it was Brendan O'Shea. Brendan was responsible for booking all the bands from the late 50s right up until when the bands finished in the Harriers. And like the amount of information, Brendan, I met Brendan last week with his son John and they went through everything and like information he gave me about how to book the bands, who they were dealing with, and obviously back then we didn't have emails or we didn't have mobile phones, so all the work was done in the evening time between 7 and 8 o'clock. And some of the facts he used to say to me, he always made sure that after Eurovision that band would play in the Harriers the following week. And his son John was telling me that like the house used to be crazy there in the evening times, particularly coming up to the weekends, that everybody be ringing looking to get in. And Louis Walsh was a regular caller to the house looking to get bands in. And on a Saturday when they had all the big bands coming down, sound checks used to take place and the Harriers been 2:30, 2, and John told me that he had fond memories walking up, opening the Harriers, letting them in and the sound checks going on and listening to them doing their 1-2, 1-2 and getting everything right. But some of the statistics Brendan told me, like that they used to have an 8-pole marquee in the carnivals in Tullamore, Tullamore carnivals for the Harriers. And all that money fundraised and brought the pavilion and the current stadium to there. And that the record for the biggest numbers in the Harriers still remains. But the two bands were Joe Dolan and the Saw Doctors. That was a record number. I have the record number, but I won't divulge it tonight. We do have it. But he also said to me that like it was mighty to speak to the bands. And he remembers one time with Joe Dolan that he, after the gig, it was such a successful gig that he went down to Ben and he said, "Here, Ben, there's £5 each for the members of the band." Now, we'll say Ben was honourable and he gave the boys the £5. But he also told me that like when the Stunning and the Emotional Fish and they had all those bands, but they looked after the local bands that Shockproof and Poetic Justice would have looked after the backups. On a Thursday evening, they'd have to set off from Tullamore putting up the posters, and it went as far as Ballinasloe, Portlaoise, everywhere putting up these posters. Lo and behold, they were being prosecuted in Ballinasloe for putting up posters for the Harriers in Tullamore. They went on to court, and the judge threw the case out, and he said, "I couldn't prosecute these people, they're doing great work." And he was also telling me about the Saw Doctors. Now, when the Saw Doctors came to Tullamore, they jammed it. And these were one of the bands that set the record. So you can actually think of the numbers, those of you that are listening in, the numbers that used to be in the Harriers. So this night, the boys in the Saw Doctors band said, "God, the heat was unbelievable. Could they had any towels?" And Brendan said, "No, look, we'll have to get towels." And he went down, Paddy Larkin was there and said, "Look, we'll have to get towels." And Paddy said, "Here, look, I'll go down to Hayes's and get the towels." Paddy came back up to the Harriers with a load of towels. What did the boys in the band do? Cut them all into strips. Cut all the towels into strips. And that was the end of any towels going back to Hayes's. So, like, I mean, when you think about the amount of the bands that were brought to Tullamore, like, it was the mecca. But not just on a Saturday night, Sunday nights. And he was also telling me back then in the good days too, they used to run four nights, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And they came from all over. So, and they had, obviously, when things were changing too, they brought in the membership. And you had to be a member of a club back then and you had to be proposed by somebody. That would take a bit of time. But look, there were, again, the people in the Harriers were fantastic at working their way around and figuring that one out. So, Brendan, like, you're an amazing man, and you, to be able to deal with all the bands and ensure you had your wall chart up there, John was telling me, you knew exactly what was happening. From the people of the Midlands, we want to say thanks very much. Like, it was some feat to do what you did from the late 50s straight through the carnivals in Tullamore into the pavilion, getting the pavilion up and running, bringing the bands to the Harriers, bringing us all that music. And when I say us, I'm speaking on behalf of everybody that went to the Harriers. And I just want to say it was a pleasure speaking to yourself and John in your house the other day. And like the memorabilia that you showed me to look through was unbelievable. It was amazing. I mean, even the bus routes were started back then. They still continued coming in our day. So Brendan, thanks very much. We want to wish you all the best and everything. And we'll talk soon.
To the Harriers, with thanks to the Bridge Shopping Centre Tullamore. Fashion, electronics, food, gadgets, music, movies, footwear, and a whole lot more for all the family. Bridgecentre.ie. Bank Holiday Monday on Midlands 103 with Barry Martin Motors, Irish Town, Mullingar. You don't need to go far to sell your car. See BarryMartinMotors.ie today.
Bank Holiday Monday here on Midlands 103, and back to the Harriers to the Bands. And we have another 8 interesting facts for all our listeners out there tonight, and I'm sure they'll bring you back some sort of a memory, good or bad. The pain in the calves, in the muscles in your legs after spending the night dancing to house music, of course, basically consisted of you jumping up and down on the spot like a member of the Maserati tribe. God, make we all remember that.
We all went mad. Yeah, another one would have been if you got the bus from Portlaoise or Mount Melick, the absolute agony of having to hold in a pee the whole way back to town from Tullamore.
Oh, yeah. Just so I remember this one anyway. The drunk lad who seemed to knock a drink out of everyone's hand, no matter how much you tried to dodge him while coming up the steps from the back of the dance hall.
That always happened, yeah. Another one, lads asking you if you had any chewing gum.
Oh, yeah. Start going home afterwards with a curry chips because someone told you that it hides the smell of alcohol on your breath. Turns out it didn't, and you were trying to convince your irate parents you only had one pint, despite the puke stains all down your clothes. Well, hands up to that, 100%.
Yeah, and finally, not having to worry about your every move and discretion being posted all over social media the next day. The day after the post-mortem with friends to piece together what we did.
Yeah, do you know, when you think back, Mick, all those, no social media, no nothing, like, they were the nights, Mick. Like, no phones, no nothing. Yeah. And people, real old-fashioned communication, enjoying yourself, you know, and there was no such thing as going around taking a photograph here and posting it up or what you were doing.
Yeah.
And like, and again, like we said it earlier, Mick, like all our young people today have missed all that.
They have. I think I do like the fact that you could go and your every move wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it now. There's a bit too much, but we're reflecting on the past anyway. That's all that matters. But yeah, it's hindsight, isn't it, really? You're looking at what can be done nowadays, but back then, there were great times.
Yeah, Mick, when you think back of all the bands, like even from the 70s onwards, you had Tweed, Nirvana, Gene Haley days and the Champions. You had Cry Before Dawn. And we hope to be speaking to Vinnie now from Cry Before Dawn in the next few minutes.
Yeah, and we had The Four of Us and The Stunning and Something Happens in the 90s.
So. Hot House Flowers, Emotional Fish.
I'd say every band really that were big at the time during the Golden Horde, loads of these.
Mama's Boys. And I was only chatting to one of the lads there recently in Tullamore, their Poetic Justice. They used to pay, they were a local band, 5 or 6 lads in it, and they used to pay support to all the big bands and the hires at the time.
Yeah.
And, the amount of bands, but not alone on a Saturday night, but Sunday night was another mecca for all the country stars used to come into Tullamore, into the Harriers, because I remember Margot, Philomena Begley, Joe Dolan,
of
Big
course.
Tom, Larry Cunningham, they all played in the Harriers.
And the lookalikes, Tweed, Linda Martin, you know, the list goes on.
It's very interesting you said Linda Martin, because I was fortunate to work in the Harriers for a couple of years too, and at the end of the night we used to have lots of bands to carry out the gear, and I used to collect the drumsticks from all the big bands at the time, and I have a lovely collection, but Linda Martin, she used to have her dogs backstage.
Ah, lovely.
And we carried out a lovely lady, and
she is
genuine, and you know, we all had great banter and stuff at the end of the night. Mick, are we going to play another few songs?
I think so, yeah. From one of the bands, maybe you pick someone from.
We'll go Cry Before Dawn, maybe, Mick.
Yeah.
Witness to the World or Gone Forever?
Gone Forever, I think.
Okay,
they're synonymous tune.
Cry Before Dawn and Gone Forever. That was Cry Before Dawn and Gone Forever. And as you said earlier, we will be speaking to Vinny, and we have Vinny on the line. Hi Vinny, how's things? Thanks very much for joining us here on Back to the Harriers 2 of the Bands. Mick Lynch is here in the studio with me. So Vinny, we were chatting there about last week, and you were telling me that, like, and I remember fondly, and I'm a great follower of Cry Before Dawn, and I remember you playing in the Harriers well. So if you can just give us some stories and bits and pieces around that time.
I suppose in our, how you, John, how you make...
How you doing, Vinny?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, look, at it, in a sense, like, Ireland, different era in the 80s. Things have changed a lot, I suppose, now with internet, mobile phones, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we used to always enjoy going to Tullamore to play our gigs, particularly in the Harriers. We had a little, I'm not sure how many times we played there, but we always had a little running competition around around the track. And it was even a better competition when the gig was over. Maybe we had a couple of pints in us. But, so look, if you're in a rock band, sure, part of it is having the crack, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And like, have you any other memories from the Harriers there, Vinny? Like, you know, you were saying to me that, do you know, when you came in, like, and the whole place was full and bits and pieces happening.
Yeah, look, as I say, different times then. Yeah, my memories of the Harriers were that whenever we played there, it was always very well attended. I'd say there was lads coming not just from Tullamore, but from all parts of the Midlands, because it used to get pretty packed there. And pretty good crowds, I think, and supportive crowds. But I think in the Harriers, it was a scene, wasn't it? We played there a number of times, but I'd imagine the different bands from our era played there, the Aslans and Something Happens and all.
Absolutely.
At the time as well, lads. Would that be right? There was a good scene there, yeah?
There was, Vinny. Mick here. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The four of us would have played the stunning Something Happens.
Yeah.
A lot of those, No Sweat, we were talking about. You know, there's a lot of bands that would have played there at the time, and I didn't get to see you there, but recall from all that era, you know, you touched on it, that all the bands, the place was jammers, always was.
Yeah, and just as a matter of interest, lads, I've often thought about the Harriers in years gone by, but could gigs ever be revived there again, or was there ever talk of it, or is that a bygone era that won't happen again there?
Well, we never say never around here. You'd never know what just could happen, Vinny. That, with that door, we won't say it's firmly closed, but sure, look, anything is possible, and we'd love to have Cry Before Dawn back in Tullamore again. And how are things in general going for you at the moment, Vinny?
Yeah, so they're going well. We a couple of weeks ago there, we just started back again. We played two gigs, one in Cork and one at Forever Young Festival in Kildare there. They were both really good from our point of view. I know there was a lot of publicity on Forever Young about how wet it was and mucky and that, and it was.
Yeah.
But it's a great, great festival, and We that's the second time we've played it now.
Yeah, I was at the first time you played it, Vinny. You opened the Saturday, the first
we
year.
We did,
I was there for that one, but sadly I wasn't allowed in, like John here, I wasn't allowed in on the Saturday this year.
Yeah, and we were really up for it this year, and we had a great slot. I think we were on around 6 o'clock in the evening, which is a brilliant slot. But unfortunately, as you say, the day trippers weren't allowed in on the Saturday. But still, look, everyone made the best of it, and it still was really good. Like, next weekend now, we're playing in Limerick, Kerry, and the All Together Now Festival. That's down in Waterford.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're really
quite
flat out again.
To that. We're doing a bit again, yeah.
And I believe, Vinny, you're working on a new album?
Yeah. I know we've been talking about it for a long time, but we're now actually doing it. And
brilliant.
There's, I suppose, it's going to be a 9 or 10 track album. There's 4 or 5 of the songs almost finished now. So I won't say we're halfway through it, but we're a good way through it. And we're hoping and we're thinking that it's going to shape up pretty well.
Ah, brilliant.
But it won't be out, I'd say, till the first quarter of next year.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking
Something
for.
Something to look forward to.
February, March.
Brilliant. Vinny, I have a question for you. Since you were running around the track in the Harriers, who always won? With or without the pints?
I'd say Pat always won the drummer. You know, drummers are as fit as fiddles, so I have a feeling it was Pat every time. Now, with a few pints in him, I'm not sure. I don't know who.
Yeah.
I don't know who won it then.
Okay. But
were we the only band to do that? Or
No. Look, there was plenty of other stuff on with other bands. Maybe best kept off air, but they were all very interesting. Yeah, no, look, as I said to you, massive fan myself and delighted to see you back out on the road again. And Vinny, look, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very, very much for coming on air to us with us tonight. Like, we really appreciate it, taking time to have the chat with us.
No.
And, you know, look, the door could be open again for Cry Before Dawn and the Harriers. We'll never say never. And best of luck. Looking forward to the new album next year. And the very best.
Thanks for having us on anytime. You have my number.
Yep.
If there's any... You know, we want to get back out around the country and play now. So if there's a good gig in Tullamore, let us know.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you in Tullamore at some stage.
We'll certainly be flying the flag for Cry Before Dawn anyway. Great. Definitely. 100%, Vinny. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Cheers.
See you, lads.
Thank you, Vinny. Bye. Bank Holiday Monday here on Midlands 103, and back to the Harriers, to the bands. Mick, we were chatting earlier about songs that, when you know, remember when we were walking in after getting in, going through the cloakroom, and you'd hear a particular song that stays in your mind for life, actually, when you think about it, when we're thinking back, because it has been a very long time. I know, like one song I'd always think was Billy Ocean, When the Going Gets Tough.
Right, okay, yeah.
What song would be reminiscent with yourself now?
I suppose I mentioned a few earlier, but one that stands out, another one of these European hits, was a song called I'll Never Be Maria Magdalena by a singer called Sandra. And why it was pivotal, it was one of these big hits in Europe, but when we talked about Love Bug earlier, they used to play it in their set and done a great version of it. And then the song itself had kind of sampled a bit of Self Control by Laura Branigan. So people knew that song and then all of a sudden heard this one. So that would be one of the ones for me now that would be... anytime I hear it under, because it's not played that often, so when I hear it on the radio now, I think straight away there's another Harriers memory.
Song, yeah, I suppose for me, like, and I think one of my all-time favourites has to be Toto in Africa. I think it was an amazing song, and you know,
brilliant band.
I hear it regularly on Midlands 103 here, and I know Roy Jennings himself is a big fan of it. So, do you know what, Mick? Why don't we play these two songs, and we'll just call it John and Mick's medley?
Brilliant idea. Yeah.
Okay, let's hit them with Toto in Africa and Mick.
Sandra and I'll Never Be Maria Magdalena on Midlands 103. You're listening to Back to the Harriers 2, and we've been getting loads of text messages in. And John, I believe you have a few there.
Yeah, I've one here from Marion Egan. Marion has been always a great supporter there when we went back to the Harriers. John, great memories of the Harriers and great bands. Only person I didn't get to see was Johnny Logan, and we were chatting about Johnny earlier. As the week prior to him playing, I pulled his pin up off the wall and got as far as the gate of the Harriers. And one of the doormen was standing at the gate and took the pin up of Johnny Logan back. And when I went the following week to see Johnny, I wasn't allowed in. Oh, Marion, God. Yeah, another one here from Kevin. The bands that stand out in my mind of that area were The Indians, The Memories, Lucky Numbers, great memories of a different area. And Alan Farrell came in there. Lovebug was another band. They used to do a great ABBA tribute, Mick, as well, and the Conquerors.
Okay.
There's another great band.
My dad was a member of the Conquerors.
Your
Small
dad was
world.
Yeah.
Way right, back in the 60s.
Right, okay. And I got one in here from Patricia. I remember Brush Shields is very good. Paying £5 to get in and dancing. All a great night. Fabulous memories. And another one here, Michael Kelly. Remember going to the Harriers in 1990 to see Lightning Strikes and Royal Flush perform two excellent Irish rock bands, and Chips and Peas and Chicken Was Love You, along with a few pints of Smiddick's Ale. And I have one more here, I think. No, let me see. This comes in from Dolores. Love Bug, The Four of Us, Memories, Aslan, and many great live bands. Yeah, poor
Christy
passing away recently there. Look, and when you think of them, all great memories generated in the Harriers and Tullamore.
Yes, and I've one final one here for now. Hi, guys. Lovely to hear the Harriers mentioned again. It brings back so many good memories. If you had £20 all money, you had the price of the bus from Clohan. entrance to the Harriers and a snack box in the tasty takeaway. Also, does anybody remember a song called, a band called No Sweat? They had a song called Heart and Soul, I think. Indeed they did, in 1989. It says, I remember being at that in the Harriers. Would 1989 be accurate? Anyway, I love the show. Well, anonymous texter, you're bang on. It was 1989. That band, No Sweat, had a lead singer, Paul Quinn. And that song was their first single. It was actually produced by Joe Elliott of Def Leppard. And it went to number one in Ireland. So we're actually going to play that song now. So this is Heart and Soul by No Sweat.
You're very welcome back now to Midlands 103, Bank Holiday Monday, and I can't believe, Mick, how the last 2 hours is absolutely flying.
Just zip by. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, look, and you know, never in our wildest dreams did we ever think that, for me personally, when I did the first show back in April with Roy, that we were going to get part two, but obviously the Harriers, being the Harriers, what it has meant to people across the board, I'm really thankful for yourself, Mick, because the knowledge you've brought and your memories here tonight. And like, if we were just reflect for a few minutes, maybe on the last 2 hours, like when you think back of the Harriers, the Irish bands back then were unbelievable, weren't they?
Yes, as we said at the beginning, it was a place, an outlet for us all to go to. You know, I think it wasn't practical probably back in the day to go and see these bands in Dublin. A lot of them were based Dublin-wise. It wasn't practical, and it was fantastic that while the road network wasn't what it is today, all those bands made their way around the country, and we were lucky they were down the Midlands. We were able to get to see them here in Tullamore in the Harriers, and you know, they introduced to a lot of songs, a lot of bands, a lot of music, and I think more than anything, a lot of friends, and we've just talked all the memories we have that come flooding back since we started this 2 hours ago, and it's just flown by.
Like, my phone is absolutely on fire here, and to be fair, it'd be virtually impossible for me to come to everybody that has sent me in a message and mention everybody, but look, we're really thankful for you coming back, but yeah. Like, as the Harriers, as it was back then for the 70s, 80s, 90s and into the noughties, I think the local band Hogan were probably the last real band to play there.
Okay.
But and when you look at how much we actually only had to pay to get in, like £3 or £5 and you got your fork supper. And I think the most anyone ever paid going into the Harriers was £10.
Yeah, and that was probably definitely Stephen's night or New Year's Eve, yeah. When you wouldn't be able to swing a cat in it.
Like, and I remember like the Saw Doctors night when they played there and N17. Wow, the place just lit up. But another great night, Paul Young, like that night. Wow. Like the water literally run off the ceilings and off the walls that night, the crowd that was in there. But like, do you know, Mick, we were fortunate, and I say it again, we were very fortunate to come up in an era where we got to enjoy all this. And yes. It, you know, it wasn't social media. It was real. It was real life experiences. We've all had that. And like, for me personally, it has been a fantastic opportunity. And I just want to thank a couple of people, because they were inspirational in me doing that, particularly my wife and my family. My wife Imelda and two girls, like Danielle and Louise, they said, look, go on, Daddy, do it. And like, the one man that I want to thank really is Roy Jennings here at Midlands 103. Like, another 80s fan himself, and like, he's programmed there every Monday to Friday and evening time. Like, Roy has been pivotal in helping us do this. And I, from the bottom of my heart, I never, ever, 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 ever expected to get an opportunity to do this. I'm so thankful, Mick, for you coming on board here tonight.
It's both ways.
It's been very nostalgic.
Yeah.
The Harriers is a rite of passage for all of us. Mm. We want to thank from the bottom of our heart from Mick Lynch and John Cusack here tonight on this August Bank Holiday Monday, the 2023. We want to thank the boys and the Harriers for giving us this opportunity. And Mick, you have picked a very, very poignant song to finish up with tonight.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge everything you've done for this programme, John, and thanks.
Thanks, mate.
No, it was brilliant. I just hope the listeners feel the same love and emotion listening to it now that we have had putting it together, because it has been brilliant. And like you, I want to thank all the listeners and all the people that got in touch with both of us. It's impossible to include everyone's interviews and everyone's messages, but it's been heartwarming, and I hope you appreciate as much as we do. And we're going to finish with a song, as John said, that is suitable, because all these people we've met over the years and all these memories we've done today is all really about friends in time. So it would be suitable that we finish with this is the Golden Horde and Friends in Time.
So from Mick Lynch and John Cusack on Midlands 103, back to the Harriers, to the bands. It's Friends in Time, Golden Horde, the memories.
You've always been here with me, and in your eyes, baby, I can see.